Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
This is quite a gift for the church. Nice. It beats that other thing we had, huh? It's great. When I looked up, I go, what's different, huh? Is this like that game? You know? This is awesome. Thank you, everybody. Well, let's open our Bibles, please, to Psalm chapter 95, beginning with verse 6. I'm going to begin reading Psalm 95. Before we do, let me open in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this time, for this moment. Lord, thank you for the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you give us a time, a place that we can come and worship you, Lord, that we can come and adore you. We thank you that we can get into your word, Lord. Right now, we pray that you open our hearts and our minds, soften our hearts to what you have for us. Speak to us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So beginning here with verse 6, it says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. As in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Here's a Christmas message in our psalm. As we've been going through psalms, here we are, come to Psalm 95, and it really slams it, it nails it as the Christmas message. It says, it sounds so familiar to a Christmas carol as we read this. O come, let us worship and bow down. O come, all ye faithful, right? Joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem, and come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us. It's just like the salad psalm. Lots of lettuce in this psalm. In fact, there's 6 let us's. But it's a call to action. And it's a call to come to the Savior. He's calling you. He's calling me to come. But sometimes we don't come. Sometimes we're too busy in the Christmas thing or in our life. We're just too busy in the season, right, to come. You know, it's interesting that Christians, you know, this is one of the 2 days of the year, Easter and Christmas, where most of the churches are, you know, people would come that don't normally come. And it's like the pastor that saw this guy that hadn't been coming, except he came on Christmas, and he said, hey, Jack, it's good to see you. He said, you need to join the army of the Lord. He said, I am. I'm in the Secret Service. And that can be, sometimes that can be it. You know, it's that crazy time where we just come for this, you know, one time, but we can run around throughout the rest of the time in this crazy Christmas anxiety thing. You know, that's what happens when we run around going crazy, because what do? We're missing something that God has for us, and that is his joy. There's joy. So as we look at this psalm, I want us to see a couple things here. We're going to take time this morning to look at the opportunity in this psalm, number one, to come and worship and bow down. That's to come and adore him, to concentrate on that. And the other thing is to have rest. Rest. Doesn't that sound attractive? You know, that element of just rest and that peace. And it's not just about Christmas, but all the time, all year. So how can we have that rest and peace anytime? First thing we see in the psalm here, it says something we see from the psalms, and it goes back to verse 1. It's a call to sing. Come, let us sing. It's who? Who do we sing to? We sing to the Lord. That's what we do here. You know, the Lord, why do we do that? We do that in part of our service. It's to worship. And what does that do for us? It gets us in a place of focus. It gets our eyes, it gets our heart, and it gets everything about us focused on one thing. Hopefully, that's the Lord. But it's hard when there's all these other things going on around our head. But see, the Lord knows that when we sing, when we're really singing, then we're vocally, we're there, our minds are there, and I pray that our spirit's there. We start to worship, and it's that focus. And it gets our hearts and our emotions and our mind all focused on that single thing, and that's the Lord. And it removes all the distractions, all the things that are going on. See, we have so many distractions in our life. There are so many things going on, even in your mind right now, you're probably thinking about, did I get all that? Did I get that gift for so-and-so or that? Because I still have to do my shopping. So, but you know, it's that where we need to get back to the place where out of that area of worry and stress and get our eyes focused on the Lord. And as we worship this newborn king, as we sing that, we come and adore him. The newborn king. He is our, and it says here, it says, why do we want to do that? It says, he is our God. The Lord Jesus Christ is our God. Spoken by the prophet Isaiah, 600 years before Christ, it says, for unto us a child is born. This prophecy, unto us a son is given. This wasn't just written just to throw out there, but it was written specifically by the prophet Isaiah. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But see, what happens to us? We get so distracted. We get our focus blurred throughout the things that's going on in our life. It gets in the way of Jesus. This anxiety comes in and it can just, you know, do this thing to us. And we lose sight of the main thing. We don't keep the main thing the main thing. What's the main thing? Jesus is the main thing. Even with Christmas. You know, it's interesting how our culture today, our society, we don't see much of any entertainment on TV or relating to Jesus. This season, we were just talking about that. There's just an element that's purely secular now. It's interesting how it's gotten to this point. It's evolved. And so, also understand this. And I don't have to, you know, it really goes without saying, right? But I'm going to say it. Christmas isn't just about giving and receiving gifts. It's not just about a Christmas tree. It's not just about decorating and all that. It's not about the food. Christmas is about Jesus. Jesus Christ, the newborn king, the king of the Jews, to come to save the world, to remove sins of the world from all its sin to those that would believe. And this is the focus. It reminds me, as we go through the Christmas message, it reminds me of some men that were really focused on finding this newborn king. And as they're searching for the reason for the season, as they're looking for the birth of Christ. And who is this? These are the wise men. These are the wise men, the magi that are actually called here in the original language. That they were, by the way, never in the Bible is it mentioned there were three wise men. They weren't three wise men. It was just mentioned of wise men. It could have been 10, it could have been 20, it could have been, you know, whatever. I just have to say that because sometimes we hear about three wise men. Don't know where that tradition came from. Most likely it's related, as I digress here, over the fact that what did the three wise men bring? This is the trivia question. What? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So it's like one guy had one had another, one had another. Now, let me just clarify that. Not that it really matters, but it's interesting, though. But they knew, they were focused, and they were coming to find the king, coming to find Jesus. And as they came, it's understood that they were astronomers, they were counselors, they were scholars, and they knew by the astronomy that star was going to be over this particular new king. But something else that's interesting is it's speculated that they clearly had scripture. We know that because they actually are going to quote it. But more than likely, they had the book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel we have in the Old Testament. Daniel specifically prophesied 600 years before of a time. And these magi more than likely had this information, because it says, as Daniel writes in Daniel 9:25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks." Understand this. A week is a seven-year period. You don't have to do the math. I'll do it for you. But we have a seven-day week. This is specifically speaking of a seven-year week. And it actually adds up to 483 years. And understand this. We know a specific date that was given. That decree to go and rebuild Jerusalem was done by the king in Medo-Persia in 445 B.C., So if you take that to 483 years after that, you get pretty close to Jesus Christ, his time on earth. So it brings us right to his perfect timing as these wise men are coming. And that says, Matthew 2:1, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" These guys really understood Christmas. They had it. What it's all about. This total commitment to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, to love him and to worship him. And the amazing thing is, they did find him. The Bible's real clear in Jeremiah. It says, the Lord says, "If you seek me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart." These guys were determined. They were committed. They were so committed. Do you know they came at least probably 800 to 1,000 miles to find Jesus? Now, of course, they didn't fly, or we don't know what they drove. Camels or whatever. But this was a major journey. This was a major trip. But it takes commitment of the heart. It takes focus and not to be distracted to look for Christ, the king of the Jews, to come to Jesus. And this is what happened. As they came to Jerusalem, as they found, as the king of the Jews at the time was Herod, heard about this, and Herod was a paranoid schizophrenic. I mean, the guy was crazy. And he wanted to know, by the way, where is this king of the Jews? A little competition, where is he born? And see, the wise men, they quote Micah. They quote from the prophet Micah. And say, yes, he was born in Bethlehem. And you know, as Herod was disturbed by Jesus, sometimes Jesus can be disturbing. He can disturb our world. If we have our own ways, our own way of dealing with things, if we have our own little life that we want to kind of keep the way we want, what happens when Jesus gets involved is sometimes he can kind of disturb us. But it's a good thing. Because what he wants to do, as we're going to see, is give us an incredible gift, all right? And so these guys, these wise men come, and they find him, and it says, "When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over the young child where he was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." So they first responded with rejoicing. Literally, over the top emotion. It's the emotion of elation that they discover as they come to the presence of Jesus. And I know they knew Scripture. They knew God was sending his son. And they would not quit until they found him. And what's the result? Joy. Joy. That's what this Christmas and every day we want to be focused on Jesus. You want joy? Start searching for Jesus. Not just Christmas, but every day. See, this is the best Christmas present you could ever have. Be totally committed and seeking and loving and worshiping Jesus. and doing it all the time. You know, to come to Him in your heart and bow down. As it says in here in our text, Psalm 95:6, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." And it takes a surrender to come and worship. To surrender. See, and what are the benefits? What are the benefits? Here they are. First of all, verse 7. "For He is our God." He is your God. He's a personal God. A personal relationship because you know Him. You know the Lord. And you believe in Him. And you trust Him. And you love Him. That, of course, is if you do. Because if you do, it gets better. Verse 7. "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand." Now, for all of you who have sheep, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. You can relate to this. You know what this is about. But for those that don't, being a sheep with a pasture, with a shepherd that wants to take care of you is a really good thing. That's what we're talking about here. You know, it's of course, reminds me of Psalm 23 as I look at this, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God wants to provide. He wants to bless. He wants to take care of you. No wants, and all the needs are met. And you have nothing to worry about. He is, you know, you are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand as you know Him, because there's no fear. There doesn't have to be any fear because you have the shepherd taking care of you. He said, you know, Psalm 23:2, "He makes me lie down down in green pastures and beside the still waters." He leads me beside the still waters. And so just as the shepherd takes care of his sheep, for He is your God, He wants to take care of you. But there's a catch here. This day, today, this Christmas, it says in our passage, if you will what? If you will hear His voice. This Christmas, what voice do you hear? What are you hearing? Do you hear these words? Or do you hear other things going on? Other demands and distractions and issues that come up? Because it says here in verse 8 of Psalm 95, "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness." Because it can be sometimes so easy for us to get our hearts hardened against hearing His voice. Especially this time of year when things can get crazy. What are we focusing on Christmas? Is it Jesus? Really? Are we more excited about Jesus than anything else about Christmas? Are we really more excited about Jesus? That's what this is all about. Are we more in love with Jesus than anything else? This is the test, really, for all of us. The test of the heart for Christmas. And it's our joy when we have this. The first verses of this chapter goes back and says, "This is the, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence and with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms and with, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." Do you know we can make Christmas and celebrating it kind of a god, an idol, by getting other things involved and getting so wrapped up in that? Do you realize that? Anything that we get between our love for the Lord Jesus, anything we get in the way of our love for the Lord is an idol. It can become a god. It can happen in Christmas. We get so wrapped up in other things, in wrappings. And they're good. They're a good thing about Christmas, but we can get so distracted and so consumed we miss out on what it's all about. It's the, and again, you know, if you watch commercials on TV, there's so much stuff. I mean, it really is there to make you feel really guilty if you don't buy a new Lexus for your wife. You know? I got over it. No, you know, I'm not being a good husband if I don't buy that or whatever. Or if I don't buy so-and-so this, or a new diamond ring, or, you know. If we don't get our kids everything they want for Christmas, We will be terrible people. You know? I can remember years, this dates me, but years back, you know, Cabbage Patch Dolls came out. Man, if you didn't have a Cabbage Patch Doll for your kid, you're scum. You know, it was bad. And running around trying to get that. There wasn't any joy in that. Oh, I can't find one. Got to run over this door. Oh, no, got to go. Got to drive 50 miles and I'll find that one. Imagine. But what if we just imagine this? What if we had a Christmas that just included one thing, that's worshiping and praising the birth of Jesus Christ, focused solely on the newborn king? And not making it, you know, a one-day thing, right? We can do this every day. That would be awesome. To come and be filled with joy. To worship the Lord. You know, thanking Him for all the gifts He's given us. I'm telling you, He's amazing. I'm thankful for this new, you know. Thank you. Lectern, podium. But you know, God is so good. And I'll tell you, I'm totally blown away. And as we've, you know, been here for a few months and have been praying, God, you know, you provide. And we're praying for new chairs, right? And I shared last week, and the church next door decides they're leaving. And they basically, almost practically give us these chairs. Right? Wow, God. And then lighting. We got this lighting for, you know, practically nothing. It's a gift. And then what blows me away is we've been really praying for plants, right? We got these little plants. Then they gave it. It's these huge palms back there. I mean, this may not seem like a big thing to you, but it really excites me. I mean, it's huge. It's like, wow, God. It's amazing. And this is why, you know, it may not seem like a big thing, but it's huge because He is working. He's doing things in our life, and He wants to do things in your life personally as we sing it, as we trust Him, as we go to Him for who He is, and we worship and bow down, and He wants us taken care of, and He wants us blessed. Even you, He wants to take care of and you blessed, not just this Christmas, but today and every day. He wants to take care of you. Look at verse 4 in Psalm 95. It says, "In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land." See, it's all His anyway. And He is the one that gets all the glory and all the credit, as He is the one that, you know, just wants to give us what we need. Just think, He has provided for you today. He has. So you can give Christmas gifts. Let's give Him the credit. "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Oh, come, all ye faithful. Come, ye, let us adore Him." So what about today? What is going on this Christmas? Look at verse 8. "So today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." Are you hearing? Or are you not wanting to listen? Because there's a tendency to not want to listen. Yeah, same old story, same old Christmas message. That's a sign of a hardened heart. If you don't have a desire, to worship and bow down, if you don't have a heart to kneel before the Lord our Maker, there's a hardening of the heart there. You want to hear this message, or else you will miss out. You will miss out on the greatest gift you could ever have for Christmas. And here it is. You want it? Here it is. It's called rest. You guys ever get tired? Maybe you don't. Striving, running, doing this, doing that. Rest is good. It says here, verse 11, don't rest. It says that if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of the trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. See, what happened is, this is specifically talking about something memorialized forever. This is when the children of Israel were taken out of Egypt, signifying really our old self. That's what it and the world in a sense. As Moses led them through the Red Sea, as the Lord parted the Red Sea, they got to see the work of God as they were taken into the wilderness. And there God provided them for them every day. You know, Charlton Heston, remember the movie with him standing up and with his staff and and that one too with the NRA thing, but that's different. But God parting the sea so the people can pass, right? And they saw his work, but then something happened to the children of Israel. They got their eyes off the focus of the main thing, the Lord, and focused on their situation and on themselves. And they disgruntled and they complained and they were unhappy with their life because they were in the wilderness. But see, the Lord wanted to take them to the place, the promised land, the place of rest. But they wouldn't go in. They wanted to stay. They really didn't want to. But because of their unbelief, it says, they wouldn't go in. They were taken close. Right there, they sent in 12 spies. 12 spies went in, saw this great place. They saw there were some difficulties. There were some enemies there. But God, they knew that there's 2 out of 12 that said, we can do this. God can go before us and we will take this and have this rest. 10 out of the 12 said, no way, we are lunch to these people. We can't go there. They never believed. They never had the rest. For 40 years, they walked this funeral procession. The Lord would not let them in until they all died, until their kids were able to go in. That's what happened. The longest funeral procession in history. Because they remembered the fish that they ate in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. They had a taste for that old life. They couldn't get rid of the taste. They wanted it. They wanted to go back there. They wanted what was left behind. And that's what happens when we fail to come to the Lord, when we don't listen and worship Him. Our hearts start fighting the Lord. And it gets difficult out there. And you despair. So we come to adore Him. We come and worship Him. Or we miss this something in our life. And it's the best He has for us and the biggest and the best He has for you. And this is what it says. For 40 years I was grieved with the generation. I said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. And they do not know my way. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. It's so easy for us to get lost in the wilderness, even during Christmas. It's so easy to get caught up in all that stuff. It's so dry. How's your life? Is it full of the joy of the Lord and you're just excited about Jesus this Christmas, or is it kind of dry? I'm just asking. See, the Lord, He has His best. It's about listening and about believing. We've got a great commentary on this in the book of Hebrews. The Bible is the best commentary on the Bible, and it talks about this. It says, Hebrews 3:14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt and led by Moses? Now with whom was He angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpse fell in the wilderness? And so whom did He swear that He would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Then it says in Hebrews 4:3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. As He has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. What is the rest? It means literally to cease and desist, to stop. The striving. What a contrast. What a difference. The Christmas striving versus coming to Him and resting. And really, the rest is means it's finished. It relates to the Sabbath. It's done. God has done it all. He's done it all for you, and he did it on the cross. As that little baby, as we're going to hear tonight about this in our presentation, that's going to make it real clear that, you know, this little baby ends up coming and taking away all our sins, so that we can have this rich life and abundant life. But it takes entering in all that God has intended for you, his rest. I know it's so easy to get sidetracked. It is so easy in this world to get hooked up in other things and miss out on this. See, somebody once said that, you know, we can end up with a strong taste for the world. And here's what's interesting is it's like it's so good and so attractive, but sometimes, here's what makes it difficult for us. Sometimes there's too much of a taste of the world in us for us to enjoy Jesus. And there's too much of a taste for us of Jesus to enjoy the world, to see the difference, see how it can be really, we miss out. We're just in the wilderness. I believe this can be, you know, for many of us, it's a miserable time for Christmas. But I want us to be full of that joy, full of the joy of Jesus. Do you want that rest? Do you want that joy? Where are you looking for your joy right now? Ask yourself. Is it with him? Is it with Jesus? With his presence or in the world? Let's make this Christmas a joyful Christmas. Let's come and adore him. Let's enter his rest and worship. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. And it reminds me of another song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. I see the wise men coming to Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face and see and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so, right now, Lord, I pray, God, that we're hearing your voice. That may you speak to us, Lord. Soften our hearts, Lord, if there's any hardening. If there's an issue with the message that just doesn't want to go through, Lord, I pray, God, I pray that we may just completely open our hearts, Lord, to you. Lord, remove all the distractions this season. That we can just focus on you and your glory and your grace. We come and worship and bow down and adore you. We love you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.